This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry, Mariana, and we have Judgy joining us for this segment from Australia. Gold Coast, it's been raining. It's hot. I heard thunder. Outside, it was dark and gloomy. And this morning, 7 o'clock, I was at the pool having a swim and baking in the hot, hot sun. And you walk outside of the convention centre and it's dark and cold and wet.
It's not cold. I'm not having that. It hasn't been cold ever.
True. So, pretty good attendance, lots of tables and chairs and people filling up the room. That's pretty good to see.
Yep, it is.
218 Kiwis, somebody said, but I reckon they've probably missed a couple here and there. Who knows?
Actually, I was talking to someone from down Wellington way and they said, why can I brought over 14 people? Hamilton have got 6? Seven?
I certainly spoke to someone from Hastings today. And I know the tournament director, his wife, Caroline, as well. And they're both here and they're both from the Hawke's Bay. So certainly there are a few people from probably most places, I would say. A
couple from New Plymouth?
Yeah, I saw Lee. She comes from Whangarei.
I caught the bus in from the airport with a group of ladies that are from Kerikeri. Interesting thing they also said to me was Rong Klinger popped into their bridge club.
Yeah, was over doing a seminar in Auckland. Everyone appreciated it. They really enjoyed it. Good agenda and lots of rave reviews.
They said he was very good.
Yeah.
He was around the area. He was in Paihia and thought he might just catch up. And he was well received by their club. We ran out of recording space for last week's podcast. Sorry, folks. So here's our chat about heading into Gold Coast. And next week, we're going to be updating you with the results as we go along. But once again, you want to follow us and all the other Kiwis, just hook on to the Gold Coast results link. Okay, let's go on to our other exciting news.
Gold Coast coming
up. Coming Sunday, flying out Saturday.
Yep. What time are you flying out? I think we're flying out at 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon.
We're 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock Saturday morning. And we're actually coming home Sunday. Are you coming home Sunday or are you flying out Saturday afternoon?
No, we're coming home Sunday as well.
On the 11 o'clock flight?
I think we're getting in at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or something.
Oh, you must be getting an early one.
I think it's 8:30 in the morning or something.
No, we caught the next one. How's their numbers going, Barry? Been able to have a look?
How many Kiwis?
Oh. No, just their general numbers.
Look, I haven't really looked, no. I've got to confess. I think their numbers are okay. Just looking on the ABF site while Mariana's doing that, I see that the 9th APBF Open Congress is being held in Bangkok in May, inviting all national bridge organisations to participate in their Open Congress. So an Open Congress means you wanted to play in that, you could. They're not in Bangkok, Mariana.
One night in Bangkok.
Maybe a week in Bangkok.
Okay, so in the Bobby Richmond pairs, novice, they've got 90 entries, restricted under 300 MPs, 160, under 750, 120, and in the open is 224. It's a total of 594 playing in the Bobby Richmond pairs championships. Shall we have a look at the teams, Barry? In the open teams is 148, the under 1500, 50. 75 in the under 750s and 86 in the 300. Novice, 32.
How much does all that add up to?
I don't know. Wow.
That's 391
teams, Barry.
They'll probably wind up with 400 and they won't all be four-person teams. So that's over 1,600 players, isn't it?
Yeah. And then they have the Ivy Dahler Swiss pairs, 205 in the open, 77 intermediate, 80 in the restricted, 48 in the novice.
Bit deceptive there, because a lot of people don't enter that until quite late. You know, they
until
might not
quite late. Yeah, depending on their team stuff. So it's pretty good. Just a thought, I got an email from the ABF and they said to me, who am I playing with in the teams? Because I'm playing with my friend Michael from Cairns. Because we were just in the open team and they came back and because we've got New Zealander with Australian, they put us in the mixed category. How does that work?
You can enter categories. You know, there are prizes for different categories. If you're a mixed team, which means that you have a male and a female at both tables in every match, I think that's how it works, you can enter the mixed category. If you're all New Zealanders, you could enter the overseas category.
Oh, I see.
You know, there's a number of categories that you can enter. If you're all woman, you can enter the women's category. So that's why they've probably put you in the mixed.
So you can withdraw out of mix and say, no, we just want to play in the straight open.
I actually thought it was self-nominating. You had to nominate. I think you have a choice. You can either be one thing or another. You could be an overseas team, or you could be mixed. You just get to enter one category, I think.
Right. Well, so we're playing in the mixed. That was news to us.
When you say you're playing in the mixed, you're just playing in the event like everybody else, but, you know, the different categories. If you're the best mixed team in the open teams, you'll get a prize. They might have an overseas category, and they might even have one for just New Zealand. But our team could be a New Zealand team, but I think we're in the mixed as well. It's always fun, the Gold Coast Congress.
Yeah. Have you had a look at the guest speakers?
No, I haven't. Who have they got?
On the 17th, Peter Hollins is actually having a workshop at the Gold Coast Bridge Club. Don't really know what the workshop's about, but they've got 56 people. It starts at 10 o'clock. What else is happening? Celebrity speakers. Here they go. So if you're over the Gold Coast on Sunday, Liam Mills leading thirds and fifths, William Jenner O'Shea, and that's on the Monday, Overcall Mall to be a Nuisance. Poor Dally's on Tuesday, Fresh Bidding Ideas for 2024. That sounds pretty interesting. Andy Hung, How to Defend Against Common and Strange Conventions on Tuesday. Paul Marston on Wednesday, competitive bidding when both sides have 18 to 22 high card points. And on Thursday is Nick Jacobs, demystifying auctions after a takeout double. Minimum contribution is $5, which goes towards the ABF Youth Bridge. If you are a youth player, then it's free for you. 100 participants, maximum number. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
It is. I tell you what, one of the best guest speakers they've had, Paul Marston. I always found he was excellent. Those others will be good as well. Liam's always entertaining, and William Jenner O'Shea is good. They're all good speakers.
Poor Dally, Fresh Bidding Ideas for 24. That sounds pretty intriguing.
Who was talking about Overcalls?
William Jenner O'Shea.
I had a little adventure on Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, I had this hand, and I really wanted to bid something. I didn't have anything to bid. You know what I mean? They'd opened the bidding.
You had a hand that you wanted to bid something, but you didn't know what to bid.
Well, I didn't have anything to bid. That was the problem. They opened a minor, and I only had two hearts, so I couldn't double. I didn't have a five-card suit, so I couldn't overcall. And I didn't have much in the air suit, so I couldn't bid a no trump. I would have needed more points. So I had this nice-looking spade suit, Mariana, ace-queen 10X, and I thought, it's only at the one level and I'm not vulnerable. I'll just try a one spade overcall.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't really get me into any trouble, but what it did do was stop the opponents from finding out they had a 4-4 spade fit. So I ended up playing in no trump. So I didn't do too well out of my 4-card overcall. The moral of the story is overcalling a 4-card suit has more than one danger.
I thought you were going to say I didn't have much to offer, and I thought you were going to say, and Jenny puts me in four spades.
No, Jenny was not going anywhere in spades. She only had one of them. It was quite interesting, though, because they bid no trumps, and I was on lead, and I thought, well, Jenny hasn't supported spades. I've only got four of them. I might as well leave my clubs.
Yeah, and how did that work out for you?
So they made their contract. It wasn't a brilliant success story, and it wasn't a disaster, but I would rather they were playing it in spades, which they might well have done if I hadn't have overcalled one.
And now we're back in the present. So today is Monday the 19th of Feb. Apologies for the wonky sound. This is the best we can do.
A couple of directive things happened. One of them was somebody was playing a variable no trump. Strong no trump when they're vulnerable and weak no trump when they weren't. One of the opponents objected and said, they can't play two different systems. That's illegal. Is it?
They're not playing a different system, are they?
I don't know. I wasn't there, but apparently he objected vigorously and said that they can't be allowed to play two different systems.
Both partners aren't allowed to play different systems. You're allowed to play variations on your system. You both have to be playing the same system. A variable no trump just means that, depending on the vulnerability and position, depending on what your particular agreements are, then your no trump will vary. Both partners play exactly the same thing. They are playing the same system.
If we played against somebody who was playing strong no trump if they opened in first and second chair, and ACOL if they opened in third or fourth.
Yep, well, we play weak no trump if we open first and second, and strong no trump if we open third and fourth. Absolutely, the position at the table may change, and your tactic may change because of what you know about what has or hasn't happened previously. As long as you are both playing the same system, variations within the meanings of bids are perfectly allowable. I mean, you do not make the same bid vulnerable versus not, or not versus vulnerable. There's a lot of things that may change what you decide to bid, about what the bidding has been and what position you are at the table. You might open light third in hand, but you would like to have a decent opener normally if you are fourth in hand.
Right.
So there are lots of different things about variations on a system, but if everyone has the same agreement on both sides of the table, they are playing the same system. You have an agreement that you play, and it is the same thing, irrespective of whether you're sitting north or east or south or west. It doesn't change because of where you are sitting or who you are. It changes because of agreements that are well defined within your written system agreement.
Hey, what are directors like on different players' accents, Julie? You know, when you go to director school, do they have like a... I've got a reason for asking.
We have heard this before. Patrick and I in Canberra many years ago had a situation that arose because the Kiwi accent King and Ten sounds similar, apparently. And I've spoken previously about an Irish guy was playing, and even the appeal committee couldn't understand his accent. But it was clear that his partner knew exactly what was being said. If you're a defender, don't assume that the card that's going to be played from dummy is the one that you think it's going to be. If someone calls something and you don't hear it properly, or dummy plays a different card, then make sure about what has or hasn't been said. You don't just play a card because you think that that's what's happened.
What was your scenario, Barry?
Well, actually, I can't believe it. We just had dinner with Judge Julie at Mario's, and this was not discussed. She's just about word for word said what happened. I had this diamond suit. I was in no trump, so I had ace, king, 10 to 6, opposite two small. And I needed to duck one. I was hoping there were 3-2. And I thought, oh, rather than duck, I'll just put the 10 in, because you never know. The queen and jack could both be onside. Sometimes it happens.
Oh, yeah.
So I played small and said 10. And the guy thought, yes, he thought I'd said king, because I got the Kiwi accent. And he played small, even though the 10 had been played from dummy, he played small from Queen X.
Okay. Are you sure, Barry, that he hadn't seen your safety plays, for which you got a holder many years ago? If I recall correctly, they involved two small opposite a six card suit headed to the ace king.
Okay. See, I've heard, Julie.
Gosh. What did you
this
say?
This time I never lost any trick. I felt a bit guilty about this thing, because now the whole diamond suit ran. And so guilty, I went in and had a look just now, and I noticed that it only cost him 2 match points, believe it or not, so it wasn't going to make any difference.
No, it's one of our big failings, and people do it because they think you're going to take a finesse or something, and they play the wrong card without actually registering what card's been played. So it's really important that you wait for dummy to play the card, and then you play when you're playing after dummy. And if dummy plays a card that you don't think has been called, you can double check, but you can call the director. Dummy has to play the card that their partner has called. And in the case of accents, normally partnerships have got the same accent and they know what they're doing.
Anyway, when I played small in this 10-1, I just thought I was a genius. And I was sitting back there admiring this, and of course I wasn't a genius at all. Anyway, there you go.
There we go. There's no recourse generally for making a mistake at the bridge table. there are some things that can happen at various points.
And just to clarify a ruling, something happened today. So there was opposition applying, and we're following suit, and then dummy thought that there was a revoke on the table. So just mention, no, I think that there's been a revoke and called the director. Can you just clarify, can we do that?
Yeah, okay. Dummy is not allowed to initiate a call for the director. If dummy notices something has gone wrong at the table, they are not allowed to point it out. But if something is pointed out at the table, when the director can be called by anyone at the table because the infraction has been pointed out at that point, so they are not initiating the call, that action is already occurring.
Okay.
However, when that hand is ended, then dummy can point out that there has been a revoke. All right?
Right.
Once play has ceased, there is no dummy anymore, and that player can at that point point out the revoke has occurred.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Where there is damage or disadvantage because of dummy calling the director may vary depending on what the actual circumstances here. For example, if the dummy's pointed out the revoke and it hasn't been established, then they could well be disadvantaging their side.
Okay.
Because the ruling for when what happens for the revoke when it's not established is different to when it is established.
I see.
So dummy is not allowed to initiate a call for the director, but if there has been an infraction and that has been agreed by everyone at the table, then certainly dummy can be the person putting their hand up and calling.
All right.
And that is my understanding of the law, Patrick. Patrick wasn't listening, so we won't worry about it. Dummy initiating a call.
Well, no, dummy can initiate a call anytime someone else has pointed out the infraction.
Yeah, do
dummy can't point out the infraction themselves.
All right.
But if there's an infraction, then dummy can call.
Yeah. So there you go. Patrick and Julie have agreed. Yay!
wait, let's have a party.
I'm pretty sure it happened once before, Mariana.
Oh, yes, that's right.
With the emphasis on the once.
Yeah, that's right. When Patrick mildly agreed that there should be...
That's right. He mildly agreed with Judge Julie, that's right. And he said that was as good as it was ever going to get.
Yeah, that was on the first and last board comment, Judge.
I will admit that mildly is not the way we normally agree with each other, but there you go.
Well, our listeners are getting more bang for their buck today because we've got both of them commenting.
Just briefly.
Yeah.
Okay, so results from today. It was a bit sparse for the Kiwis today. Best in the final were Liz and Blair Fisher, who wound up ninth, was it, Mariana?
Yep.
We could claim Ella Jacob.
But I don't think you're going to succeed.
Yeah. So open pairs finals in the A results overall were Ella Jacob and Philip Markey, and Barry's correct. Blair and Liz Fisher came in ninth in that.
McAllister's were 10th, and Sue Southern and Pam Tibble, a really respectable 13th, and Summer Volumirate Genk following up their good result in the South Island team.
Yep.
So we certainly were well presented in that group.
Cover off the final B as well.
World champion, Michael Rosenberg and Gies
Stahl, who's currently in the Bristol store in Auckland. Liam Milne and James Coote, who may or may not be Australian, but certainly came from New Zealand.
Michael Weir was 7th with Peter Hollins and Pam Nisbet and Jan Cormack rounded out the top 10.
Indeed they did.
June May and Jeddah Lee.
They were 9th.
And look at that, 12th was Judge Julie and Bailiff. Awesome. I am going to duck all the way down. Congratulations to anyone else in the other finals. But have a look at this, Judgy. Open pairs finals in the F.
Jenny and Barry second. Well done.
We get $300 for it.
Woo! John and Jane were
so great money for these things. $350 if you could win, even if you were in Section L. You got $350, and if you came second, you got $300. Only one pair of Kiwis managed to win, and that was Brian Cleaver and Debbie McLeod. They won their $350 in their section.
Awesome.
Yep. Well done.
Well done to them.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I'm going to shout out the intermediate pairs finals in the A. My partner and I, who's a token Kiwi, and I could be a token Cairns player. We came in 15th in the A finals, and a couple of really nice chaps, Anzar and Frankie, they romped home. Congratulations to Kevin and Helen Walker from Waikanae. They came in 5th in that final.
Yep, and Sue Stevens and Carol Joseph, who came in 10th.
Another pair of Kiwis. There's Kiwis everywhere. I think we're getting a few complaints about how many Kiwis, not complaints, but, you know, Australians saying, everywhere we go, there's more Kiwis.
We had some in the A final in the restricted pairs. Jan Bennett, Derek Bartosz, they came in 7th.
Excellent.
And a couple of Tiara boys, Victor Cooter and Guy Kalmer.
Oh, yes.
So that was pretty good. I'm just going to quickly jump into the Swiss. So the Monday Swiss in the Open. My friend Debbie Marcroft, Steve Barron came in 4th.
The Kiwis won it.
A shout out to Ricardo with Greg Buzzard and Harry Shepherd.
Oh, absolutely.
The winners were Derek Evanett and Judy McLeod.
We've got quite a few in there. Excellent.
Yeah, we've got Pam and Ian Moore.
And Carol and Murray Wiggins from Hawke's Bay.
Yeah, neat. Hey, tell me, it's Teams tomorrow, that start of a premier event, I guess. Teams Championships. In the Open Teams, there are 148 in the Open, under 1,500, 50 intermediate teams, 74 restricted teams, 86. Wow.
Is there another lot?
Yeah,
I'm counting, by the way. I'm adding these up.
30.
So that's 388 teams.
And just tell me, there's been some confusions. Intermediate and restricted over here is different to how we play it in NZ.
I think it's sort of the other way around.
Yeah.
In New Zealand, there's open and there's restricted open, and the next grade down is intermediate. But in Australia, I understand it's open, then you've got intermediate, and then below intermediate is restricted. Sort of the other way around.
Yes, it would be nice if both countries had the same.
Can you tell me that when they put these teams one down to whatever it is that the seeding, is it?
Yes. So the number one seeds are last year's peers winners, Finn Kolesnik and Adam Kaplan, playing with Nick Jacob, Justin Milne, Liam Milne and James Coutts. They're the number one seeds this year. Numbers two, Alex Smirnoff, Paul Gosney, Jamie Thompson, Sartaj Hans and India. To be fair, I think they probably seed them down a ways. When they get down past about 70th, the seeding's probably a bit random.
Okay. Is it a New Zealand team? Mike Weir, Hugh McGann, Tom Jacob, Peter Hollins, Matthew Thompson?
New Zealand and Australian.
There's four Kiwis and two Australians. We'll take Hugh McGann. We'll call him a Kiwi. Lives in Hamilton.
So the top seeded Kiwi team, pure Kiwi team, would be. Oh, are we digging deep to the bailiff? Is that the first pure New Zealand team? So that's.
I think it probably is. We're seeded 17th because there's lots of Kiwis playing. Very few of them playing in an all Kiwi team. There's Liz and Blair Fisher with Steve Bowie and Carol Richardson.
Alice Young and George Sun with June Lee and Jen Lee.
Yeah. So there are a few fully Kiwi teams. Lots of Kiwis mixed up with lots of Aussies.
Okay, I'm just looking for my name.
We're 92nd.
92 out of 148. Oh, right.
Yeah, so you got 56 teams below you.
Well, it's a buzz, isn't it? So coming out of playing pairs, going into the teams, what's your tips about how to change your focus area, because it is slightly different. So what would your top tips be?
Apart from make your contract and try and defeat the other person's contract, one of the best tips I will give people is when you're thinking about what to do next when you are defending, perhaps, count how many tricks you have already got. So if you've got 3 tricks already against the game contract and you have an ace in your hand, it is a really good idea to take the 4th trick before it disappears. And it is surprising as we get through with fatigue and a large amount of bridge where people don't actually think about how many tricks they have got and how many they need. And even as a declarer, how many tricks have you got? How many do you need?
Okay. You got one, Barry?
Well, my one's always the same. And It's just bid your bloody games.
I was just going to say, are you going to do the Nigella favourite? But Barry says I have to bid my bloody games, even if it's skinny.
Only if they're making, is it?
Well, if they're making half the time, it's still worth it.
My tip is always keep your scorebook correct and up to date. You don't want to be fluffing about with that. And if you are doing the bridge, mate, and you're on lead, lead first and then do the entering.
Always think very carefully, first and last thoughts.
Oh, yeah. There's that one, of course. It's a really still applies, good one. Mariana.
Yeah, I'm just having a great that one.
Just because you're really excited about going back to score up with teammates, or not, when you get to the last board, give it your full attention. By the way, you don't get any more imps for having the tidiest scorebook.
I always try. The first couple of games are always nice and neat and tidy, and by the end, it's all big writing everywhere, maybe a couple of cross out. Hey, you said that you got some money. How much money did you say you got?
Well, the winners of each section got $350 cold hard cash. I mean, there's lots of sections. It goes all the way down to L.
Yeah.
How many is that? A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Lots.
It's 12 lots. Sections. $350 to each winning pair, $300 to each pair that came second. There was more, of course, if you won and came second in the final of the play.
Oh, I see.
I think it was something like $1,800 for winning the pairs. But, I mean, that's pretty good money for winning section F.
Wait there.
What was that for, Mariana?
This was for me winning the walk-in no-frills pairs on Saturday night.
Oh, you got a bottle of wine.
Because it was no fraud, so it was all right. We won a bottle of wine and a flash pen. And I said, well, I'll have the plonk because I can't drink a pen.
Anyway, Judge Julie's starting to flag a bit. She's yawning. She's had a tough day and she's got to get up early in the morning and play the first match of the teams tomorrow.
Oh, did you draw that short straw?
We had a toss and we've got a six-person team. And that means Jenny and I are getting a sleep in the morning.
You should make it go into the celebrity speaker. It starts at 9 o'clock. It's Delhi tomorrow, yeah. 9 o'clock. Hey, well, thanks. It's been great chatting. All the best to everybody that's playing teams. I know this podcast doesn't drop till Wednesday, but our thoughts are with you anyway. We will catch up again next week with all the overall results.
Okay.
Well,
I'm back
in
Newcastle.
Will do. Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international, nationwide.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.